In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tomorrow, of course, the conversion of St. Paul. In our second lesson, we heard again that great light shining, breaking in from heaven itself. And I've always been both inspired and challenged by Paul's transforming encounter with the risen Christ on that Damascus road. Saul, the preserver of the purity of the Jewish faith, preserving at all costs, by any means, Saul, the terrorizer of Christians, becomes Paul, the bringer of the good news of Christ to the Gentiles and to all peoples of the world. But just what sort of person was Saul before this life-transforming encounter turned him into Paul? Remember what he said about himself. I was zealous for God. I persecuted the followers of the way, the early Christians, to their death. I arrested both men and women and threw them into prison. By his own words, Saul was a religious zealot. He was prepared to hunt down, destroy the followers of Jesus who stood in his way, to overthrow them by persecution, violence, and terror, to impose faith through violence. So Saul suddenly is not an unfamiliar figure from history, but someone we tragically recognize in our world today. And it was such a person that the love of God and the grace of Christ touched and transformed. Saul becomes Paul. And this is my inspiration, because no one is beyond the transforming love of God. The grace of God can touch and transform the hardest hearts. And just as God did not give up on Saul, so he never gives up on us either. No one is ever beyond the transforming love of God or outside of his grace. But that transformation resulted not just in a change of Paul's personal life, but from it came a whole new calling to bring Christ to all the people of God's world. The God of our fathers has chosen you. You will be his witness to all men, to all the world. Calling fulfilled so effectively that even this evening you and I stand as inheritors of that ministry. We can trace our own Christian heritage today back to the ministry of Paul, called by God to bring the good news of Christ to all people. But that transformation didn't just bring about a change of message. It was a revolution in the way the good news of Christ is to be shared. You see, faith is no longer now to be imposed, but is to be shared openly with all. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. It's offered as a liberating free gift. Proclaiming the gospel is not about imposition, but liberation. And to use some technical language, we're called to evangelize, not proselytize. It's not about imposing a set of beliefs and rigid practice. It's about setting people free to find out how the living Christ will lead them. And of course, there's one part of my life where all this is particularly challenging and thought-provoking at the moment. As you heard, I happen to be chair of the Dartford Board of Education. The board has oversight of our 85 schools and colleges. Over 22,000 children and young people attend them each week through the diocese. And many thousands more children and young people have regular contact through our chaplains in universities and colleges. And of course, Andrew Bishop is one of these. And even in this cathedral, over 4 days in the summer, around 3,000 children each year take part in Leavers services. Wonderful, exciting celebrations, filling this space, celebrating their time in our schools. So what is a church school? Well, shorthand, our church schools seek to offer excellent education to children and young people of all faiths and no faith through living Christian communities rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's an extract from a national church document. The purpose of education is to fulfill human potential, meet the needs of society, and transmit knowledge and culture. Fulfilling human potential rightly requires a focus on progress and achievement, excellence, and high quality of educational experience. But also, through offering a life-enhancing encounter with the Christian faith and the person of Jesus Christ. This offer of a life-enhancing encounter with the Christian faith should run through the life of a church school like words through a stick of rock. It's a high calling, an awesome responsibility, and the greatest privilege. Our schools do well and are highly regarded by parents. Again, parents of all faith and none. We don't, of course, claim to be better than other schools. There are many, many excellent schools throughout the county. But we do seek to be distinctive from other schools. And it's interesting that many Muslim parents prefer our church schools to a secular one. But at a time when rightly there is a great concern about all faith schools because of the radicalization and extremism agenda, it's so important to remember this transformation of Paul, that our church schools are not about imposition, they're about liberation. As well as Ofsted, our schools have an extra inspection to look at how well they're fulfilling their Christian calling. At one school, there was an inspector in training who, following the inspection, sent this email to the school. The children were remembering the service in church the previous year when the lights had been put out and just the candle flames were left. One year four girl, no church background, commented, "What it made me think of is that sometimes you feel as though you are lost in a dark cave, but then Jesus comes to you like a flickering candle flame to lead you to a safe place What better liberating gift can we give to any child at the start of their education? And for ourselves, you may know that Bishop Andrew is putting together some new priorities for the future of the diocese. And there's been a survey open to all members of the diocese. You yourselves may have already responded to the questions. But one question asked people to identify what was most holding back the life and growth of God's church. What was the greatest barrier holding back the church? What do you think the answer was? Number one barrier across people of all ages and all churchmanships was simply this. The number one holdback was a lack of confidence to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we reflect again on this life-enhancing encounter with the risen Jesus Christ, for Paul on the Damascus Road, an encounter which transformed him personally, an encounter which transformed his understanding of how God reaches out to people with the grace of the gospel, not imposition, but liberation. The challenge comes to me afresh, and maybe to us all. What does it mean for me, for us, to live as people of the liberating good news of Christ? People of the liberating love of God. How can we be good news people in all the places where God will put us tomorrow? Amen.